I like that line, in His freedom, we are free. You know, that's truly what this message is all about. It's because Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived His life, died, paid the consequence of our sin so that we could be free. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. Praise God. You know, I love everything about Christmas, always have. You can ask my wife. Music, Christmas music starts in first week of November for me. I think Sirius XM Radio I've got in my car, I think they have their first Christmas channel available November 1st. So praise God. I've been listening to all the Christmas music and have been since November. You know, some of the earliest memories of Christmas, you know, we all have memories. We all have traditions. You know, I'm sure if I was to ask every single one of you, there's certain things that you do annually at Christmas time, certain things that you look forward to, and whether it's the traditions, the gifts. You know, I remember, I'm sure each one of you have a particular Christmas that you're fond of because of some toy or some gift that you got. I remember when I lived in South Austin, there was one particular Christmas that I got a bicycle, and it wasn't just a bicycle. It was a red bike with the big mag wheels, because you know during that time it was all about jumping ramps and doing wheelies and all that kind of stuff. So I remember when I got that particular bicycle. I remember it just like it was yesterday. And so again, we all have the special memories and the different things. And you know, one particular Christmas when all of the family was together. I come from a small family, but there's a lot of cousins, and so I remember. My grandparents had a very, very, very small three-bedroom and one-bath house. Not two-bath, one bath. And so I think this particular Christmas, there was, I don't know, 16, 18 of us in that little house. And my grandmother had crocheted blankets for all the grandkids. And so I vividly remember that. Love everything about Christmas. I remember my, and I think we had mentioned this before, but oftentimes whenever we were at my grandparents' for Christmas morning, the night before, we would actually go out to the National Guard Armory and we would sit on the tanks and we would watch for Santa Claus go by. You know, they always made such a big deal about those things. And it was a time of family. It was a time of gift giving. It was a time for making memories. You know, a number of years ago, I think it was when Matthew was in his first year of college, Matthew tried to make some of his own Christmas memories by talking us into going and getting a real Christmas tree. Now, if we ever had a real Christmas tree in my house since we've been together, we bought it at the local department store or something and brought it home. We had never gone and cut down a Christmas tree. Well, I guess this house was brand new. And Matthew decided he wanted to start a tradition of going to a Christmas tree farm and cutting down a fresh Christmas tree. But we couldn't just have a normal-sized Christmas tree. You know, this thing had to be, because we've got big, big vaulted ceilings in our entryway. You know, this thing had to be 10 or 12 foot tall or something crazy, you know. And so I had the bright idea. I thought, well, I've got some of my grandpa's old tools. Let's just make memory. Let's just take grandpa's old saw and go out there and cut down this tree. And so we're, you know, Matthew is laying down under there trying to cut this tree, and it's as dull as a butter knife. I mean, we struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled. Well, we finally got the tree cut down and tied it to the top of the car and brought it back to the house. And he was as happy as could be. He had started a new Christmas memory. And we were going to do this from here to kingdom come. Well, the problem was is because he got this tree that was so tall that it had to be anchored down, because when we got this thing in the stand, now keep in mind, this is a brand new house, new hardwood floors, the tree fell over. And when it fell over with all the ornaments and all the water. All the water went all over the place. And so we picked it up. I think it fell several times. So we had to get a big 5-gallon bucket full of paint and actually use a fishing line and, you know, anchor it down. It was a whole ordeal, and that was a short-lived Christmas memory. I think it was right after that we went and got the tallest artificial tree that we could find. So that memory was short-lived. But you know, one of the most impactful memories that I have is that every single Christmas, starting with my grandfather. You know, my grandfather would read the Christmas story. How many of you read the Christmas story at Christmas time? And then as time went on, my dad started reading it. But it wouldn't be Christmas unless we read the Christmas story. So I'm going to take a moment. We're going to read a portion of this to you. And all of the message will kind of go along with what we're going to do. In Luke chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, a governor of Syria, who all went to be taxed, and every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." You know, from the moment that Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, there was a plan, there was a purpose that was set forth, set in motion, that would ultimately affect all of mankind. The birth of a baby in Bethlehem would soon very much change everything. It's interesting when you read in verse number 10, it says, "The angel said unto them," who was he talking to? The angels were talking to the shepherds. "Said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Everybody say, good tidings,
good tidings.
Of great joy. Went on to say, "Which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angel was saying, this is not a time to be sad. This is not a time to be lonely. This is a time of great celebration. Imagine, here's these angels, here's this angel speaking with an accent of great delight. And then all of a sudden, set to announce the great good tidings, when suddenly there appeared the most significant and grandiose choir of angels proclaiming, "Glory to God in the..." Now get a hold of this. It says that they all appeared, and it came to pass. It says, suddenly there was an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." An angel appeared, and then a choir appeared. Can you get that picture? Glory to God in the highest. But I like it says, talking about the angel said, good tidings. You know, good tidings is literally a term that means good news. Literally what he was doing was he was preaching the gospel. You know, the gospel is the good news about a good God. And so here's the angel proclaiming the good tidings. In other words, the angel had information to share that they knew the shepherds would like. You ever been excited about something? And you were just excited to share the news? Excited to tell something that you had just found out? We've all been there. If you've ever had kids, you know, And it was expected, you know. It's a little bit different when it's unexpected, but if it was expected and you were trying and you were excited about letting people know, hey, we're having a girl, or we're having a boy, or we're having a baby. It's a time of celebration. It's a time to be joyful. We see the same thing if you look over in Luke chapter 1, in verse number 11. Luke chapter 1, verse number 11. And it says, "There appeared unto him an angel," talking about Zechariah, "standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name John, and you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the father to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto him, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto you and show you these glad tidings. Glory to God. Well, going back to Luke chapter 2, you know, the shepherds go out to what was just made known to them. In fact, if you go on down to verse 15, it says, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It was time to share the same good news that they themselves had just received. And they were excited to do it. You ever had good news? You ever had good news that you were excited to hear about? You know, I was telling you the story about the young man this week that seemingly broke or dislocated his finger in the basketball game. You know, they couldn't wait because I wasn't at the ball game, but the next morning they couldn't wait to come tell me about what God had done. The young man, the coach was the first one to find me, but the young man came and he said, let me tell you what God did for me. You know, when God does something for you, it just causes you to be excited about it to the point that you want to let somebody know. Well, like the shepherds, we should be willingly, actively, and prayerfully going into our community and to our surroundings and our neighborhoods and workplaces, spreading the gospel, which is the good news about a good God. Has he been good to you? Amen. Then you've got something to shout about. You've got something to proclaim. You've got something to share with somebody else. It's as simple as saying, I know something that could change your life. Has he changed yours? Has he been good to you? That you ought to be willing to tell others. I like Romans 10:15 says, it also says in Isaiah 52:7, it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, that bring glad tidings of good things. Everybody point to your feet and say, I got beautiful feet. Nobody has to see them. Just know you've got them. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, bring glad tidings of good things. Good tidings of great joy. You know, there's an old Bible term, rich in meaning. You know, the angels brought a message of great joy. Not just joy, the Bible says great joy. There was truly something to celebrate. And there still remains something to celebrate. Still remains something to be excited about. Christmas is about a Savior coming to the world, born to save us from our sins and destined to deliver us and set us free from the works and the grasp of an enemy. It's recorded that Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Like in 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, thank God. Literally, destroy means to undo what the devil tried to do. To undo what the devil did. Destroy. If you'll turn over to Luke chapter 4, you're there in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, years later, Jesus was in church. We actually, if you were with us on Wednesday, you saw this depicted in the story of The Chosen. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You know what the gospel to the poor is? What's the gospel? It's the good news. You don't have to be poor no more. That's preaching the gospel to the poor. You don't have to be poor no more. It says that he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You know what the gospel to the brokenhearted is? You don't have to be brokenhearted anymore. To preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And it says that he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. The gospel message is about proclaiming good tidings to a lost, bound, broken, and lonely world. And so Christmas is just one of the many, many occasions that we take a moment to reflect on the birth of Jesus Christ and the message of hope that's only found in Him. What a great joy. What a great joy to be saved from your sins, to be healed in your body, to be free in your mind, to have a Savior born for you. The greatest expression of God's love for us, God's gift to the world every day of the year, not just at Christmas. I asked Dean to share the song this morning, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. You know, that psalm was written by an unknown author in the late 15th century in England and was later published in 1833 by a man named William Sandys in a Christmas collection of carols. This song was a wonderful message found in the first few lines. It says, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. I love this. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. I love that. I love that. John 14, verses 16 to 18, you remember Jesus said that he sends another comforter. He will not leave us comfortless. The message remains the same today. There's no need to be dismayed. There's no need to be discouraged, disheartened, depressed, dejected. A Savior was born. Remember, it said, which shall be to all people. Somebody say, that's me. To bring comfort and joy. In fact, Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, he's the God of all comfort who comforts us in our tribulation that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. Jesus came to bring you comfort and joy. All those many years ago, the Lord appeared unto Joshua, who was set to take over for Moses. How'd you like that job? We find in Joshua 1:9, it says, have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be dismayed. See that same word, dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, that same message applies today. It remains to you this morning. Because a Savior was born unto you, there is no need to be dismayed. No need to be discouraged. No need to be dejected. In Isaiah 17:14, the prophet looked down through time and pointed to the daughter of David who would give birth to a promised Redeemer some 750 years later. In verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Somebody say, he's with me. That's truly the message today. God's with you. You know, names have meaning. I'm sure many of you, I know Christina in particular, just because of just recently having my grandkids, you know, what she named her kids had a particular meaning. Names have meanings. And you know, you wouldn't name your child somebody after somebody you despise, would you? You know, Matthew and I are big Texas fans. And so, you know, I wouldn't name my child Norman. Well, if you know anything about Oklahoma, they're in Norman, Oklahoma. So I'm not going to name my child, Matthew, you're welcome. I didn't name him Norman. Austin, it's a good name. Colt, good name. Vince, good name. All good Texas name. Bevo. Probably wouldn't use that one. I'm sure my mother wanted to remind herself that God is gracious every time that she called my name. I hear a few people laughing. Names have meanings. You know, when you go back to think about Joseph's son being born, two sons being born before the famine, you remember this is after the time that he came through all that. He was second in charge to Pharaoh, and he was in charge of the land. But it says when his sons were born, the first one born was Manasseh. And the word Manasseh means, for God has made us to forget all my toil and my father's house. So every time that he called on Manasseh, he was reminded that God has made me to forget everything that's happened up to this point and my father's house. His son Ephraim was born, and when he was born, he called him Ephraim because it means God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Why are we saying all this? Because names have meaning. And so when the Bible says that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, it had meaning. It means God with us. There's a message of hope that's spread throughout the Word of God. It's a message that you are not alone this morning because God is with you. Somebody say he's with me. Genesis 28:15, it says that I am with you, I will keep you, and I will not leave you. Deuteronomy 4:31 says the Lord is merciful, he will not forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6 says he goes with you, nor will he forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:8 says he goes before you, he is with you, he will not forsake you. That word forsake means to quit, to abandon, to reject, to leave, to withdraw. He's not rejecting you this morning. Joshua 1:9 says that the Lord would be with you wherever you go. 1 Kings 8:57 says he will never leave us nor forsake us. David said to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:20, be strong and of good courage and do it. Be not dismayed, for the Lord God will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Psalm 94:14 says the Lord will not forsake his inheritance. Psalm 73:28 says, nevertheless, I am continually with you, holding you by my right hand. I love the imagery that we get in Scripture. Nevertheless, I am continually with you, holding you by my right hand. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Why? Because I will be with you. Matthew 28:20, Jesus, after he was risen from the dead, proclaimed, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Somebody say, he's with me. And finally, in Hebrews 13:5, Jesus was quoted as saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So my message to you this morning is you're not alone. I said you're not alone. Amen. He came to bring you hope when it seems like all hope was lost. He came to bring you courage when fear is rising up, strength when you feel weak. It's the message of good tidings this morning. He came to bring you hope. His name's Emmanuel, God with us. Glory to God. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up at this time. You know, the Christmas season can truly be a miracle of God's grace and mercy. And what I want to encourage you this morning to do is to determine to experience the most wonderful, carefree, joyful Christmas ever. It can truly be a merry Christmas. In Proverbs 15:13, it says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Proverbs 15:15 says, and he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. I love in the message it reads, he that is of a merry heart fills the day with a song. In the Passion Translation, it says, when you choose to be joyful, when you choose to be cheerful, every day will bring you more and more joy and fulfillment. It's a choice you make. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. So the best medicine that you could take this Christmas is to make the choice to be joyful. Choose to make this a Merry Christmas. Everybody say, it's my choice. Choose joy over hopelessness. Choose joy over sadness. Choose joy over loneliness. Choose joy over everything else that may be weighing you down this morning. Can you do that? Can you choose joy? I guarantee you, it'll make for a Merry Christmas. Amen. Praise God.
It was a silent night, the heavens shined so bright. A Savior is born, a Savior is born. The earth in darkness lay, the night the angels sang. Joy to the world, joy to the world. A child born this day has come to earth to save. Goodwill to men, peace on the earth.
Didn't they do a good job? Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, that was all fun. Amen. Right now we want to take a little time and honor our pastors. Y'all mean a lot to us. Amen. Amen. I mean, you preach the uncompromised word of God. Thank you for all you do. We're very thankful. We're going to do like we always do. We're going to, we get done here, y'all just kind of, we're going to have them come up and just come up there and we got some boxes here. You can put cards or gifts, whatever you've got. But just let's just love on our pastors. Amen.
Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret, Pastor John and Miss Sheila, and Pastor Caleb and Miss Christina today.
Amen, amen. Well, let's go ahead and we're going to pray over the food real quick. And then Pastor Mark, Miss Margaret, and all y'all, just come on up.
Yes, sir. Hey, please stay for the food. Catered meal, it's all ready and prepared for you out there. Glory to God. And you'll enjoy it. I understand that Caleb wrote that the whole presentation, is that right? Amen. Great job. Glory to God. And the man, the little boy whose finger that was dislocated, broke or whatever, you understand there were several people standing there and they saw that live. It was kind of a jump back moment when it just instantly went back. You know, the little boy that, if you were here, broke his finger or whatever he did at the basketball game. And this was somebody that is not normally here at our services, and we're going through some different trials and so forth. Well, they came and brought books from our library, Word of Faith books, and heard some messages from the church and so forth, and has just begun to revolutionize and change their lives like it did ours. Amen. And so they were making arrangements to take the boy to the doctor, and they prayed and then saw a miracle just right before their eyes as that finger from 90-degree turn just became perfectly straight right before their eyes. I think that's really wonderful, don't you? Praise God. Amen.
That young man is in my class, and he's been playing at lunch like nothing. I mean, he went back in the game.
Yeah,
he's had his finger wrapped up, and that's it. He's been playing like always.
Did we win the game? Yeah, we won that game. Glory. He's going to pray over the meal, so when you come by here, then just go out there and enjoy the fellowship of one another. Praise God.
Huh? Yeah. Well, just go ahead and stay up here. Y'all come on up. Christina, Caleb. Amen. Let's pray over the food. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for this place, for each and every person in here, Father God. Thank you. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord. We depend on it. And Father, we thank you for the teaching that we get here, Father God. Lord, it is a blessing to our lives. And Father, right now, we ask that you'd bless the food for the nourishment of our bodies. Father God, bless the hands that prepared it and set it all up, Father God. And we just thank you and give you glory and praise and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.